In the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
So today you're going to get a little bit of a word study, and it should become apparent through the course of the gospel as to why I'm actually reading this. So the word that I want you to know is called anamnesis. Anybody hear that word before? Very popular word in seminary. What anamnesis means is it is the word which is used in the narrative of the Eucharist in the New Testament in 1 Corinthians and Luke. It is employed by liturgists for the commemoration of the Passion, Resurrection, and Ascension of Christ, which in most liturgies is included in the Eucharistic prayer after the words of institution, something that we hear every Sunday. Now, the reason that I wanted you to know what that word means is it's helpful for the little section I want to read to you. This is actually from a collection on the liturgy, but it pertains a lot to the gospel today, and you'll soon see why. Anamnesis and amnesia come from a common Greek root. The biblical and liturgical use of the word anamnesis rises from a perception that there is a disorder analogous to clinical amnesia that plagues the human community. To be human is to be threatened with spiritual amnesia. At the level of our spiritual identity, we do not remember for long who we really are. Those ultimate relationships that give us our spiritual identity slip from our consciousness all too easily, and we lapse into non-comprehension about our deepest identity. Corporate, public ritual brings us together to participate actively in the relationships that identify us spiritually. Liturgical rites provide self-engaging activity of a symbolic form which points us to and engages us personally in the mystery with which we live. For it is both our faith and our experience that the mystery of Christ is always present, but it is equally our experience that we are inattentive to the truth of our origins and our destiny. We forget who we are, where we came from, and where we are headed. So we assemble when it is timely to invest ourselves as a community of Christians in liturgical anamnesis. The self-engaging activity of our liturgy not only causes us to remember who we are, it invites us to commit ourselves to a life congruent with our identity. All liturgy is anamnesis. Now, it was written by a woman by the name of Mary Collins. So what does that have to do with the gospel? Well, true to my word, I have stayed off of Facebook, which makes it even more disturbing with these last couple of days in the inauguration of Donald Trump. The divisiveness of humanity as a whole is very disturbing. Now, there's Christians on both sides of any argument. But here's the thing. Let's put this into perspective. What do we hear in the gospel? Jesus heard that John was put in jail. By today's standard, that would mean that Jesus, not liking the leadership that was there, went to the seaside not to recruit disciples, to actually recruit the biggest, burliest men he could find. People built like Arnold Schwarzenegger, so that they could run through town and protest the leadership, so that they could run through town and destroy buildings and set fires and overturn chariots. Is that actually what we hear in the gospel? Do you suppose that it actually mattered to Christ who was in charge? What the gospel actually says is that upon hearing that John was in prison, he went about his father's work. He went to Galilee, fulfilling the prophecy of Isaiah. He went to Galilee and called people to be fishers of men. He went to Galilee and sought out the blind, the lame, the sick. And he healed them. That's our mission. That's our purpose. That's what it is to be emulators of Christ. The nearest thing that we have to what's going on today is what Paul's talking about. Thank God I didn't baptize you, lest you should be baptized in my name. We're not supposed to be divisive. We're not supposed to be doing the ugly things that we're doing to other people. It's okay to disagree. It's okay to be worried about the future. Jen actually read something on Facebook the other day that I thought was very poetic. What are you worried about with Trump? You worried about no jobs? Well, we have that now. You worried about school shootings? We have that now. You worried about terrorism? We have that now. What are you worried about? We can't change any of those things. We can't do it by protest. We can't do it by burning buildings, destroying cars. We can't do it by demonizing the other person. What we can do is what our baptismal vow calls us to do, to see the dignity of every single human being, to not walk in the darkness, but instead to walk in the light, to go to Galilee, to seek out the lost and the hurt and the sick and the injured, to bring a glass of water, to put a Band-Aid on a wound, always with the proclamation that Christ has died and has risen and Christ will come again, always with the understanding that Christ is our leader, always with the understanding that no matter what happens in the world, he that is in us is greater than he that is in the world. So yes, I'm disturbed by what I see going on. Not necessarily in this congregation, not even necessarily in this town, but in this country. I'm disturbed. But I have hope. More importantly, I have purpose. And I especially don't want to have that spiritual amnesia that's talked about. I want to remember who my leader is. I want to remember who my king is. I want to remember what my mission is. And I want to go do it. And I hope that's true of all of us. So be aware of spiritual amnesia. And follow Christ. Amen.